So next week, Jenny Raitt's going to be dealing with the topic of parenting through the ages, or parenting through the stages of life. And that was one of the issues that came out in the survey that we did last year. You know, there are often when we think of parenting young children. But parenting, those of you who are old enough, when I say this, will say it's true, parenting never stops, right? There are parenting issues all through your life, and often those issues get more complex. So Jenny's going to be talking about those, but I want to talk more about some principles about living in families as they are revealed in the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians 5, we have there where Paul talks about husbands and wives, slaves and masters, and children and parents. And when we think about the New Testament family, it's probably different to how most of us live today in Australia. Most of us in Australia live in a home, either just as a couple or with children, but we very rarely have grandparents, uncles and aunties, and household servants, we might say, because we don't have that kind of money, who live with us in our house. But that's the way it was in the New Testament. So it was very much an extended family. Actually, the people from our Burmese congregation live more like that, because groups of them live together as an extended family. Not that they have household servants either, but I'm just making that point that there's a much more extended family approach to the way that they live. So families vary. And you'll notice even on your television, when families are depicted now, they're depicted in all kinds of ways. If you take notice of advertisements and those kinds of things. But in Ephesians 5, we have a changing of the social order as far as, well, not only the Christian family, but as far as the whole of life is concerned. If you read through those passages, he tells wives to submit to their husbands. He tells slaves to submit to their masters. He tells children to obey their parents. There was nothing new in this. It wasn't a new message. It was the way the world worked in those days. That was your lot in life. That was how you had to behave. However, in each relationship, he talks very differently, because he talks about husbands also submitting to their wives. Now, it doesn't use the word submit, but it says husbands must love their wives and give themselves up for their wives, just like Jesus did for the church. So you've got this idea of the husband actually submitting himself to what his wife needs. Then when he talks about slaves and masters, he talks about masters respecting their slaves and treating them well. So viewing them not just as a slave, but as a person that God has made, and treating them in the right kind of way. And then when he talks about children and parents, he addresses fathers in particular, but it's really, we'd understand this is about parenting. And he says, fathers, don't exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So there's a positive and a negative here. The training part is obvious. Bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. The negative part is, don't exasperate them. Now, I just want you to turn to the person next to you. Here's some words that are synonyms for exasperate. It's not a word we use much. Some of the other words, we drive around the bend. Yeah, there we go. So just think for a minute, how might a parent drive a child around the bend? How might a parent exasperate or frustrate a child? Just talk amongst yourselves. There's no right or wrong answer. Just take a minute to do that. How might a parent exasperate a child? Maybe you have to think back to when you were a child and how you were exasperated. That might help. Any ideas?
No.
Well, your parents would never exasperate you, right? She can't think how she can possibly be exasperated by her parents. Isn't that wonderful?
She doesn't know the meaning of the word.
Okay, so then it comes to the positive side, how a parent might train their child. So we think of words like coaching or mentoring or educating, setting a good example. Sorry?
Educate.
Well, let's just pick up who's educated in the room. That's great, isn't it? So there are lots of things that we can do to train a child, but really the most important thing is what we show the child, what we demonstrate for the child. And we know that in pastor families, there's a problem because kids see the difference between what dad says in church on Sunday and how he behaves at home on Monday. And that's a problem in pastor families. I don't think that's necessarily exclusive to pastor families, but seeing as I happen to be one, I thought that I would just put out there. Now, here's another question for you. I assume you know who these people are, by the way. Elton Dwight, that's good. Mixed his name up, that's good. I was obviously having a good day. Elton John, his real name is Reginald Dwight. So I've obviously had that in my head when I was educated. Can anybody think what Freddie Mercury and Elton John have in common? Any ideas? Singers, sorry. What? Made a lot of money? Anything else?
Troubled lives.
Troubled lives, yeah. Anything else? Aha. Did anybody see the films of their lives? Not pleasant films in one sense, but good films to understand about their lives. One of the things that emerges is that both of them were desperate to be loved and accepted. And a lot of what they got into was to fill that hole in their lives that the parents didn't fill, that the parents never gave them. And maybe even today, as you think about your childhood, if you think about it from that perspective, maybe you're aware that there was a gap in your parents' lives there in terms of how they loved you and accepted you and treated you. You can't do anything about that because that's in the past. But you can do something about the future. And what you can do about the future is communicate to your children, be they littlies like these ones, or 30-somethings like mine, or 50-somethings like other people have here, communicate love and acceptance to our children. Because in the end, everybody is looking for love and acceptance. Everybody wants to know that they are loved by somebody. It's all very well for us to say God loves people, but often people need to see it through how we treat them as well. There's this quote from Dorothy Nolte that probably a lot of you know. It says that if a child lives with criticism, he learns to condemn. Obviously, there's only one gender when she wrote this, by the way. If a child lives with criticism, he learns to condemn. If a child lives with hostility, he learns to fight. If a child lives with ridicule, he learns to be shy. If a child lives with shame, he learns to feel guilty. If a child lives with tolerance, he learns to be patient. If a child lives with encouragement, he learns confidence. If a child lives with praise, he learns to appreciate. If a child lives with fairness, he learns justice. If a child lives with security, he learns to have faith. If a child lives with approval, he learns to like himself. If a child lives with acceptance and friendship, he learns to find love in the world. So, you know, we need to think about the world that we're creating for our children, whether they're littlies or whether they're grown-ups, and the influence and impact that we're having in their lives. Our theme for this year is about living in the Spirit daily. And I've put part of the text of Ephesians 5 up there because it's really significant that the whole of this passage is really about what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I put it like that with a bit in grey because in your Bibles it's likely to separate verse 20 from verse 21 and have a heading. And the implication is, this stuff is about this, here's the next topic. But that's actually not how it is. For a start, those headings were never in the original writings. And there's actually a content flow from the first part through into the second part. Because in verse 18, Paul says not to get drunk on wine, but to be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another with psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that here these are consequences of being filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, songs. Singing and making music in your heart, giving thanks. But the way the text is written, so is verse 21. So a consequence of being filled with the Spirit is that we submit ourselves to one another out of reverence for Christ. So one of the evidences that the Spirit is at work in us is in the way that we treat other people, in the way that we regard other people, in the way that we put their needs even above our own needs. That's an evidence that the Spirit is at work in us. And so the content about wives and husbands and slaves and masters and children and parents should not be seen as a separate section in its own right, but part of what it means to have Spirit-filled relationships. Because let's be honest, in any relationship, there are difficulties. In any relationship, there are hardships. At times in our relationships, whether it's with our children, or whether it's with our spouse, whether it's with our parents, we don't feel like doing the right thing. We don't feel like being the right person. I'm tired, I'm hungry, I'm crabby, I've had a frustrating day at work, this has been going, whatever, whatever. In ourselves, we don't feel that way. But God's Spirit, as we trust in Him, helps us to be that way. That's one of the reasons why God has given us the Holy Spirit, so we can be like Jesus wherever we are. So people who are Spirit-filled live for the good of others in their family. They're not just focused on themselves and what they need. It doesn't mean that their needs are denied. It doesn't mean that they don't have needs. But it means that their focus is not just on themselves, but on others. You know, when Paul talks about Timothy and his family, he talks about how the faith was passed on to Timothy. And faith and the values of faith are one things that we pass on. So I've got a couple of batons. And so the idea is that we pass the baton on to somebody else. Now we're going to have two teams. And the first team is going to be Mitchell and Cam. Thank you for volunteering. Thanks. So we're going to have a young person's team and an old person's team, right? So we're going to have Ian and Greg in the old person's team. Okay. So if you want to just stand up at the back there, thanks, Mitch. Good. Greg, come join me. You stand in the other, you stand next to... In the other
Greg,
aisle?
Do you know which Greg you met?
Which Greg? I meant the mellow one. Okay, so then, Cam, if you would come down the front here, please. And Ian, if you come down the front here, please. Just to illustrate this point, I've got to get out of the way. We've got a little obstacle course here. That should be good fun. So what we're going to do is, Mitch is going to run down here, pass the baton onto Cam. Cam's going to run right around there, come back to Mitch. Mitch will run right around there and stop there, okay? And we're going to see whether it's the old people or the young people who are the quickest.
It's just a race.
Absolutely. It's a human race. It's a human race.
Did they make contact?
Oh, no, no body contact. Only accidental. And there's a big prize at the end. Oh, well, I don't know what to incentivize you too much. So you got that, you're going to run down here, Greg, right? And he's going to run back. Just stay in your... Actually, we're going to stay in our own lane. That'll be much safer. Greg's going to run down. Ian will run up and back down to Greg. And then Greg will run down the back. No, it's okay. No, there's room. There's room for you. You know that... It's not me that's trying to run through there. It's you. Come on. We're ready? If you make a false start, you're disqualified, right? Ready, set, go. Oh, and they're off and running, and he passes the baton and he runs down the... Down here. Go, Greg. Run, Greg. Well, on this occasion, the young people win. Thank you, Ian.
They were always going to win.
They were always going to win. I didn't know. I didn't prejudge that, right? Thanks, guys. But I just want to do that just to illustrate the passing on. In a relay race, the important thing is when you connect and pass on. Pass on the baton, or when you pass on, you older guys might have passed on. The important thing is the baton change. If you drop the baton, not only are you disqualified, but your race ends, right? And if we drop the baton when it comes to passing on faith and values to others, it could end with us. Now, there's a scary thought when you think about it. I'm only here today because somebody passed the baton on to me. So let's think about who we're passing on the baton to. Now, while we're thinking about that, I'm going to get you to think about that while we take communion today. In this church, most Sundays we distribute the communion elements and people sit where they are. I'm sorry, but we're not going to do that today. There are one or two of you who have significant mobility issues and you can't move. We'll bring communion to you, but otherwise we invite you, if you'd like to take communion, to come to the table and take it. Communion is a simple celebration of what Jesus did on the cross in dying for us and making eternal life possible. So that's one thing that we're inviting you to do. The other thing that we're inviting you to do is to pause for a moment and make your own baton. So here's one that somebody lovely prepared earlier, my wife. And she's written on here some things, some values that she would like to pass on. So I'd like you to think about what you'd like to pass on to others. Pause for a moment and just write them with these beautiful church pens that have been provided for you on these cards. Just a very simple exercise. And then there's sticky tape here so you can roll it and stick it together and make your very own baton to take home. So not only do the children get to do something today, but so do the adults. So I'm going to pray, and then I just want you to reflect on those things and take communion as you're ready. And then once you've had communion, there's a table over there, there's a table down here and a table here. Then you can go off and fill out the sheets for serving at Fun on Tamar and have your drinks and bicky together. So enjoy doing that. And please, if you can, stick around afterwards so that we can have some fellowship together. How'd you go, kids? Did you get on all right? Oh, there's some serious work going on here. I think you have to show... Oh, that's very serious colouring. You have to show your parents that later. I'm sure they'll enjoy chatting over that with you, okay? Just for the adults, there's something I'll put on here for the families that I think is worth us thinking about in this context. So it says, find something to do to help another family member and do it for them. Then find something to do as a family to help someone else. Go on a walk through your neighbourhood and find someone to help. You can help neighbours with their yard, pick up their rubbish, pick up rubbish in your community, or cook biscuits for another family. So it's all about thinking about what others need and how I can pass on values to others, not only by what I say, but what I do and the example that I set. So let's give thanks for the communion. There'll be some beautiful music that will be played during that time. And as you feel you want to, just go to the table, make your baton, take communion, whichever order you want to do it. That's entirely your choice. It's a multi-choice kind of day today. Dear Lord, we thank you for your grace to us. We thank you for your love in word and deed. Not only did you tell us about the word of God and about the love of God, but you've shown us the love of God. And that we celebrate as we take together the communion today. We celebrate the love of God given to and for each one of us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We thank you for that, Lord. And we thank you that as your love is invested in our hearts, so our love is to be demonstrated to others. We pass on the baton of faith with what we say and what we do. And we pray you'd help us to think about our lives this week, be it in a family context or in the broader context of our neighbourhood, our workmates, the people that we study with, all of that kind of thing. Lord, would your Holy Spirit lead us and enable us, and may we depend on you daily to be that person wherever we are. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.